So today we talk about true spirituality. Okay, Mark chapter 7, verse 1 to 23. So in the book of Mark, we find the Jewish leaders make at least five accusations against Jesus. First, in Mark chapter 2, verse 7, Jesus was accused of declaring himself divine. So, in Mark 2, in the same chapter, Mark 2:16, Jesus is accused of relate to bad people. So, why you sit with sinners? So, in Mark chapter 2, verse 24, Jesus is accused of allowing his disciples not to keep the Sabbath. So, in Mark 3, verse 2, the same leaders, Jesus is accused of not keeping the Sabbath. In Mark 3, verse 22, Jesus is accused now of cast out demons by, I don't know in English how to say, Beelzebub is the king of the demons. So all accusations is in the book of Mark. But now in chapter 7, the leaders, the same leaders, confront Jesus with a very basic question. Is Mark chapter 7. Verse 5. Why don't you disciples live according to the tradition of the elders instead of eating their food with defiled hands? Why don't your disciples live according to the tradition of the elders instead of eating their food with defiled hands? Jesus responds for this group of people here. It's very important for us to understand a little bit about what it is a true spirituality. So, for us to understand, I divide this text in four parts, okay, so help to go through the whole 23 verses. The first part I call the accusation. So, verse 1 to verse 5, we see in verse 1, the Pharisees and some of the teachers of the law who had come from Jerusalem gathered around Jesus and saw some of his disciples eating food with hands that were defiled, that is, unwashed. The Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they give their hands a ceremonial wash. It's not a general wash, it's a ceremonial wash, okay? Holding to the tradition of the elders. When they come from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they wash. And they observe many other traditions, such as the wash of cups, pitchers, and kettles. So the Pharisees and the teachers of the law ask Jesus, why don't you disciple live according to the tradition of the elders instead of eating their food with defiled hand? The first thing we see here in Mark is Mark identified the accuser. Who are they? They are the scribes and Pharisees. Who they were? The scribes were the guardians of the Jewish traditions. The scribes were the law specialists. And they pass on to their own generation the tradition of the elders. This was the job of the scribes. But it's interesting that the Pharisees, on the other hand, were those to try to make everyone believe that they, only they, the Pharisees, the only one who really follow the law. They feel that they were more important than everyone. They were more spiritual. They were more holy than everyone, just because they follow the law. Now in verse 3 and 4, we see, show the practice of the accuser. We need to know that the tradition of the elders, what was the tradition of the elders? What was? The thing is, Moses brought the Torah, the law. And the elders, what they did? They start to up on the Torah of the Torah many rules that was not there. But they said, this Moses talked to us or talked to our ancestors orally. And we have to do all this list of things if you really want to obey God. According to the rabbis, Moses has given this precept orally to the elder of Israel who had passed for each generation. So these rules, beside the Torah, beside the law, became so important for them, then they really almost forget the Torah and just focus on these rules. The scribes and Pharisees turned the spiritual life into a heavy burden with many rules and norms. And the thing is, they thought this only if they obey the rule, the rituals, if they obey everything, they'll be saved. It's the only way. So finally, we see in verse 5 the big question here. They were scandalized because the disciple of Christ did not purify their hands when they eat. It's not because they were disobeyed the law, but it's because they were disobeyed the tradition of the elders. The wash of hands had nothing to do with hygiene, peaceful hygiene, or ordinance of the law, but only the tradition. So in Matthew chapter 23, verse 4, says, they tie up heavy burdens and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves are unwilling to move them with so much as a finger. These religious leaders thought that by observing these rites, they were better than others. This was in their hearts. They thought they were more spiritual because of these rules. Now it's time to focus on Jesus. How Jesus answered this question? This second part we call the refutation, verse 6 to verse 13. We reply, Jesus, Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you, hypocrites. As it's written, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teaching are merely human rules. You have let go of the commands of God and are holding on the human traditions. And he continued, you have a fine way of set aside the commands of God in order to observe your own tradition. For Moses said, honor your father and mother, and anyone who curses their father or mother is to be put to death. But you say that if anyone declares that what might have been used to help their father or mother is korban, that is, devoted to God, then you no longer let them do anything for their father or mother. Thus, you nullify the word of God by your tradition that you have handed down, and you do many things like there. So what Jesus does when he answered this question, verse 6, Jesus described their character. Jesus called them hypocrites. Hypocrites is an actor. He plays the role from another person. He is not what he appears to be. In other words, Jesus looked to them, you know, you say that you are holy, but you are fake. You say that you are the most special group of people among us. But you don't care about God's law. What you care is about just the human tradition that you create, not God. This is what Jesus was talking to them. Jesus, in verse 8, reveals the inversion of the accuser values. The scribes and Pharisees claimed to be the defenders of orthodoxy, but their zeal was not in preserving, proclaiming God's word. It was just the tradition. The rabbis had divided the Mosaic law in 613 distinct decrees. 613, okay? And 365 were prohibitions. So we have one, according to them, one prohibition every day. You don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. 365. And only 248 positive directions. Why they do this? Because they try to control people. And Jesus, in verse 7 to verse 13, he points out the deviation of the accusers. First, Jesus showed the worship was in vain. Is it what it say? Verse 7, they worship me in vain. Doesn't matter what you do. Doesn't matter your rituals. Doesn't matter how you appear. But your worship I not accept. Jesus showed the authority is not on the right of the rabbis, but on the word of God. And this is why many times I say, you have to check every word I say according to the word of God. It's not because a person is called a pastor that he has the whole truth behind. No. This is what have to guide our hearts in our beliefs. The word of God. Jesus shows they were neglecting the commandment of God. Verse 8. The scribes and Pharisees were guilty of placing mere human tradition above the divine commandment. So, everybody knows I'm from Brazil. And when I accepted Christ, this was in 1990. I went to a church, Presbyterian church, my first church. And when I get there, I saw sometimes people are discussing if guitar, you know, the guitar, normal acoustic guitar. Some group of people were complaining because guitar, acoustic guitar, was not a real like instrument to be played in the church. It should be piano. And take a while, of course, they change in Brazil. But I know that even today we have some churches in Brazil that are uncomfortable to have a guitar or maybe a bass on the back because they say, no, this is from world. And some people at the time, when I play some songs, they said, no, you have to sing only hymns. You, I know that you can relate if you go back. And I, if you not take care of yourself, you start to go in the same way, in a different thing. Because for me, because I'm from Brazil, I confess to you that I have to lead with my mind, work with my mind, when I have people play this. Because in my mind, this comes from Africa, Candomblé, religious that we have so strong in Brazil. So strong in Brazil that I had to do in my mind. But you know, who created this? Who created the guitar? Who created the piano? It's all to worship God. Even if in the past, the evil, the devil, tried to steal the instrument for himself. But all the instruments should celebrate our Lord Jesus Christ. All instruments. So what's happened many times is that we start to make separation what is holy and what is not. But not because the word of God says, because if you look in Psalm 100, the all instrument is to glory of God, to worship God. But it's about our taste. The same when we talk about music. If you are, no, it's too loud. This song is too fast. This is, it's about you or it's about God? So sometimes our tradition, just I want to say, tradition is not bad at all. We need traditions, okay? But you have to be open to see what the Word of God says. What is holy, what is not. It's not to come outside. This is the point. Clothes, music, instrument, all things. We start to listen. And because you learn when you are small, we just start to see that this is the way, the only way. And it's not true. It's not true. So, Jesus shows here in verse 9 to 13 that they have consistently rejected the precept of God. The scribes and Pharisees went too far to protect their transitions. Or traditions. What they did? They create one way to keep money for the treasures of the temple. So what Jesus tried to explain here is, if a son, imagine Asaph, my son, okay, Asaph, and Asaph has money in the bank, Asaph has farm, everything. And I get old. Do you know this happened? Get old. And according to the law, he has to support me in my old age. He has to honor me because I am his father. But what's happened here that Jesus pointed them, and do you know you are... You really tried to mess up this law and what you did. So if Asaph go to the priest and say, do you know everything I have is korban? It's dead or looks like holy. It's dedicated to the Lord. So the priest said, okay, Asaph, the thing is, you don't need to do anything to help your parents. You can keep all your stuff. You can keep all your, you can live with your money, everything. But when you die, this will be for the treasure of the temple. This is the idea. So, he doesn't need to give me anything. He doesn't need to help me anything. But he promised that after he's died, his assets will be to the temple. And Jesus appointed this for them and say, you know what you did? You are just dishonor the word of God. Part 3, the principle, verse 14 and 15. Again, Jesus called the crowd to him and said, listen to me, everyone. And understand this, nothing outside a person can defile them by going into them. Rather, it is what comes out of the person that defiles them. So the contamination comes from within. It's not from outside. True spirituality is neither ritual nor ceremonial, but it proceeds from the sincerity of our hearts. It's not what the mind put in. It's what comes from here. And this principle has two applications. The first one is that Jesus refutes the idea that the man is product of the environment. It's not because everybody is corrupt that you have to be corrupted too. We know we live in a society with a lot of pressure for anything. But we can live different. But There is something inside us that push us every day, to disobey God. Jean-Jacques Rousseau was mistaken in teaching that man is good by nature. It's not. Do you know? You are not good. You are not good. Your son, little one, 2 years old, 1 year old, he is not good. The evil is there. The sinful nature is there. I remember Esav. Again, Esav, sorry. I have to buy 2 Coca-Colas and pizza for you because I use you 2 times. I remember Esav was a kid in Brasilia, and he was always, he wants to put his finger inside the socket, the power, electric power. And I said, don't do this. Don't do this. And something, he, I don't know, 2 years old, 3 years old, and he, you know, look me. Yeah. This was exactly what's happened. I saw, and I said, don't do this, it's bad for you. And until one day that he was brave and tried to, and he cried. After that day, Never more. I know that this happened, but not with finger. He didn't realize that metal can pass power, so he got another shock. But it's okay. So, this is the principle. Second, Jesus refuted the idea that external ritualism can clean us before God. Wash our hands, purify the whole ritual. It's not what purifies us. It's only Jesus Christ. It's only through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Doesn't matter what you do. Doesn't matter if you come here every Sunday. This does not make you holy, my brother and my sister. It's not come to the church. This helps. God's command us to be together. Yes. But this is not what makes us holy. It's not when you give things on the street that make you holy, that make you better. We do because we receive first already. It's a consequence to please our Lord. But we cannot buy our salvation. We cannot buy our holiness. Because it was already given by Jesus Christ. It's there already. Fourth and last. Now we have the explanation. Verse 17 to 23. After he had left the crowd and entered the house, his disciples asked him about this parable. Are you dull? He asked. Don't you see that nothing that enters a person from the outside can defile them? But it doesn't go into their hearts, but into their stomach and then out of the body. It's simple like that. It's not in the text that, but it's here. In saying this, Jesus declared that all food was clean. All food was clean. He went on. What comes out of a person is what defiles them. It is from within, out of a person's heart, that the evil thoughts come. Sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All these evils come from inside and defile the person. Very direct. The great evils come from the heart and not from the external environment. And you know, when you look for the whole thing I hear, this list, I try to think in my enemies. He had all this. But I have bad news for you. Everyone here. Everyone. are included here. Everyone. Jesus points to the heart as the source of immense feelings, aspiration, thoughts, and actions. This source is also the source of all moral and spiritual contamination. So what Mark does here, I don't know why, but it's 12 sins. 12 sins, okay? And this 12 sins comes from the heart. Comes from inside us. Okay? The first 6, if you look, it's about actions. It's what you do. The last 6 is about the state of your heart. The state of my heart. It's something that is there. It's, you know, when you have like, it's there, try to get out. It's there. Even if you deny, but it's there. Is there. So, the introductory term here in verse 21, evil thoughts, you see here, so, for it is from within, out of a person's heart, that evil thoughts come. These words, evil thoughts, these two words, comes from dialogismoi oi kakoi. I'm not speaking tongues, okay, but dialogismoi oi kakoi. 3 words. And if you remember, dialogismoi. Dialogismoi. Remember, dialogue. Dialogue. Bad dialogue. What Mark's point here is that every day, I have to deal with bad dialogue between my old nature with my new nature, nature that God gave me through Jesus Christ. But I have inside me my old nature. And He is trying explode. He is trying to get space in your life, in my life, to lead us to commit sin. It's a dialogue. When somebody do something and come, I think it's because she did this. It's from inside your heart. A person say one thing for you, and you are red, you close your heart, think that she is talking something against you. Probably it's not true, but inside your heart is something that tries to go. So every day, we have to deal with this. Because it is in your heart, it is in my heart, and you need to recognize that. So I go very fast, I'm finished. The first sinful action here, sexual immorality, is all illicit sexual behavior, whether inside or outside the marriage. This includes pornography, fornication, adultery, and homosexuality. Thefts, the word used here is klopai. It's a misappropriation of what does not belong to you. Murder includes both the act and the desire to take the life of the next. Next, adultery. This is a violation of bonds of the marriage. Involves voluntary sexual act between a man and woman with a person who is not their spouse. Greed. Greed is an idolatrous attachment to material things, deny all kinds of help to others their need. Malice is an intent to commit a wrong act that will result in harm to another. And now he goes for the state of our heart. Our heart is deceitful. Our heart tries to deceit not only others, even ourselves. When we are in some situation, our heart says, no, it's not so bad. You can keep like this. Our heart is deceitful. It's a state of everybody here. No one is free of that. The first time I heard this word, lewdness, sinful impulse to lust, obscenity. Envy, slander, envy. It is the displeasure of seeing a person possess something. You see somebody with buy something in your heart, even for a single second, comes like, why they have and I don't? For a single second. And if you live there, this feeling can grow. Why they have what? Why he has a better job than me? Why he got this promotion and not me? This can come in your heart. Folly, arrogance, the evil tendency to imagine yourself better, more skilled, or great than others. The idea that, do you know, and we have our ethnocentrism, my country, my culture is better. And we have a lot, and I'm include that when M's comes, Macarrones comes, and they think they have the all answers for what the Kyrgyz church needs. But we forget that the Kyrgyz church belongs to the God of gods. And the same Holy Spirit who works in the mess that is your country on your back there. It's the same Holy Spirit who works here. Because the church belongs to God, to belong to Jesus Christ. Folly, it's the lack of good sense. So, traditions and empty rituals created by men will not make you holy and accept before God what everyone needs. It's a new heart. It's a new heart. The gospel works from inside out, providing the internal motivation that you need to live a life that pleases our God. This is the key of the gospel. When I was in seminar 25 years ago, I think, my teacher, still alive, I saw a photo from him yesterday. Everybody, when come close to him, we can feel like he's the man of peace. Do you know the guy when you... It's almost like new. I cannot say because I just met him like 2 months ago. But, you know, the guy you look him, he expressed so many peace. It's like grandpa, grandma, you know. You have the desire to put him in your lap. It's a grandpa, sit here, there's something in here. So, this is my teacher. His name is Davi Cox, a missionary in Brazil for ages. The whole family grew up as a missionary. And I remember as yesterday, when I was first year in the seminar, he said, for the students, he said, think in the worst sin you can imagine. And some start to say, and he said, I am able to do. If I'm not doing, it's because of the grace of God. Because it's here in my heart. At the moment, no makes sense for me as a freshman. Says, but now does. Now does. We need a new heart. But Ezekiel 36:26 says, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. What's the difference? It's a heart who can feel God. It's a heart who can have connection with God. It's not a rock, a stone, but flexible, live. And we have, in Jesus Christ, we have this heart. But because we're still here, we have another heart there. the old nature. And this is why we need fight every day. Don't worry, you will fall. And you will do bad things. Happens. But you need to keep fight. Ask forgive to the Lord. And keep fight. It's a journey. It's not easy to be a Christian. Your true spirituality will begin when you recognize that there is no hope. Your true spirituality will begin when you recognize there is no hope, there is no escape, and there is no worthiness by yourself. And when you recognize that, and you turn to Jesus Christ, and you believe Him as your Lord and Savior, and you accept Him, you receive this new heart, this energy, this power that comes from the Holy Spirit to help you to day by day try to please God. But when I'm doing that, I'm not trying to buy, to gain anything, because I am have already. You have already. The only thing you try, the motivation that comes from our heart to have a holy life is to please God, our Creator. It's not to receive anything I have already. The most important gift He did already. That was Jesus Christ. And this is all what we need. Let's pray. Dear Lord, praise be Your name. Thank You because You are all You need. Thank You because there is no rituals, there is no traditions that are more important than You. Help us to understand that. Help us to seek the true spirituality. Forsake ourselves and run to You, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.